This morning I want to talk about the grace of giving because I think that one of the misgivings we have about giving is that you give because you have an excess. Then that's not a grace, that's an excess of giving. Or we give because it's convenient. Again, that's not the grace of God, it's because it's convenient to you. Does that make sense? If it's the grace of God, it's different. And we see that in the Bible from the time of Genesis all the way to Jesus. You see that Adam and Eve messed up, but God still reached out to them by His grace. Does that make sense? And we go through the whole Bible, people that are messed up, but God keeps reaching out to them. That's grace. And then we come to the pinnacle of the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and I. That is grace. And so when we talk about giving, we have a very interesting sense of what giving is all about. We think of giving in terms of, well, I can only give because I have this extra, or I have this excess, or I can give because the big one is I'm giving because I think God will give me something back. And we believe in the prosperity gospel now and not just giving because of the grace of God. And because of that, we find that we're not really generous in our giving. Not just money. Our time. Our friendship. Our reaching out to people. And many other things that come with that. So this morning I talk about giving and understanding the grace of giving. Let's start there. Understand in giving. It starts here in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I mean, he's talking to the Corinthians church, and he's telling them this, that, you know what? I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, these churches were generous. Those churches could be us, because you may not be as wealthy. We're not going to compare you with a third world country. Does that make sense? We've got our own first world problems. They're real. Does that make sense? And let's face that. It says, out of their most severe trial. You may be having trials in life that get in the way of you giving of yourself. Just trials of whether it's financial, whether it's giving yourself to another person, to helping anyone to know God, or just giving of yourself, period. You have trials that get in the way of that. And it's important we ask ourselves, what are these trials? And deal with those trials in such a way that we begin the journey of growth and healing and begin to be able to give of ourselves. And so, there are trials, but they were still giving. They were overflowing joy, with overflowing joy and the extreme poverty. You know, poverty is a very interesting terminology. What is poverty to you? Maybe because you can't afford a kibble. That's poverty to you. Maybe because you can't afford a new car. Maybe that's poverty to you. Maybe because you can't afford the latest phone. That may be poverty to you. This is not a shaming story, but that's your poverty. And that is why maybe you don't give of yourself. Maybe poverty is the fact that you don't have any savings. Maybe that's your poverty. And the Bible says here that extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You know, I have seen people give in extreme poverty. I have seen people walk maybe 3 miles to church and 3 miles back and still give. And you say, why didn't you take a bus? Well, I was saving that money to give to the cause of God. Does that make sense? See, I say all that to help you understand that we have different levels of poverty. It's yours, though, but let it not stay in the way of you giving to God. That's the big point. We don't invalidate your poverty. What we're saying is that you still can outgrow and let that not hold you back from giving to God. You cannot give based on excess. Nobody has excess money. Nobody has excess money. If America does not have excess money, who has excess money? The truth be told, if I gave you $2 billion today, you'll have plans for $4 billion. And the banks will be talking to you, says, we can make it go to $4 billion. The banks will help you figure how that works. Does that make sense? If I gave you $10 billion today, you'll have plans for $15 billion. So you will, nobody has enough money. It's all about our perspective and understanding the grace of giving. Does that make sense? It's never about excess. It's not about how much money do I have to spare. It's about how can I sacrifice and give myself to God. The same principle applies for you to give yourself to another person. It's not about you having extra time. We all have 24 hours. We've got to learn to sacrifice our time to meet someone else's needs and have a conversation around that. Does that make sense? It's never going to be there. It's an illusion. You try to be fast and quick. It never happens. You've got to sacrifice. That's where it goes. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the service to the saints. This Macedonian church, they testified, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. That's another thing that holds us back. We do the bare minimum. Bare minimum. I showed up and I sat down. I came to church on Sunday and I come on Wednesday. What about during the week? Who do you talk to about God? Who do you help? Who do you give of yourself to? So we build a culture of bare minimum. In fact, for us, some of us, our bare minimum is just Sunday. That's it. Not in family group, not in any one another relationship. It's just done. Bare minimum. We don't fight for that. This church that was going through so much, the testify, they gave so much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. That comes out of understanding the grace of God. You cannot do that entirely on your own if it's accountability, if it is control. You can only do it because you understand the grace of God and His love for you. Amen. That's when you go above and beyond. You know, if you think about it, you are alive today by the grace of God. If you think about it, you have that job today by the grace of God. If you think about it, whatever health, whatever shape of your health is, you have it because of the grace of God. And if you may think you have it bad, if we look around, there are people that have it worse than you. So it's by the grace of God you got what you got. If you think about it, you have the house you have by the grace of God. Yes, you have the 20-year-old car by the grace of God. Yes, you have hair or no hair by the grace of God. Everything we got is by the grace of God. But because we inverted and feel disenfranchised because of what we have compared to the neighbors and what we do not have, it holds us back because we are resentful for not having it. You wonder why we don't give as we should. It's because we compare way too much. We're not comfortable in who, what God has done with us in our station in life right now. We are angry. We want it to be 20 years ahead. You say, by now, I should have had 5 kids, 2 cars, and whatever. But now you have no wife, no kid. What's that? By now, I should have been done with my mortgage. Now you got 10 years more for your mortgage. What's that? And I served you, God. You hold back on God. You don't realize the principle that if you understand God's grace, He'll find ways for all that to work out. But you don't give to God to get your life comfortable. You give to God because you appreciate what He's done for you. So the prosperity gospel is truly a delusion to most people. Because you're told give, give, and it'll be multiplied whatever times. And yes, we quote Malachi. But God doesn't necessarily give you back money. I had once, our first car with my wife was quite an interesting car. It was a Mazda 323. The car was 18 years old when we bought it. It was a gift from her auntie. 18 years old. We had it for 5 years. I'd drive that thing about 250 miles. I'd see new cars on the side of the road needing some help. My 18-year-old was cruising around. I would stop and help guys that had high-end cars needed some. Once I stopped and I told my wife, be careful, this may be thieves. But anyway, I stopped and helped the guy. And I said, I can help you. Well, guess what? It was a Pajero 4x4 SUV vehicle versus a 20-something-year-old car helping the other guy out. It's the grace of God that was doing that. You see, many of us get offended about the age and the kind of things. We don't see what God is doing in our lives. That is why we don't go far and beyond what God has given us. And it says beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Why? Because they saw the grace of God. Can I put it to you today that probably you're a very unhappy person because you've never seen what God has done in your life. And the single reason of that is you compare yourself all the time. So you're not a happy person. You're not happy because you compare yourself all the time. And I can talk to the teens, be careful on the campus. Ladies, don't believe every picture you see on the magazine. If they showed you the bill on what they had to do to that person to make them look like that, it would be in the $2,000. That's not the real person. So don't believe this, I'm not big enough, I'm not small enough. You are what God wants you to be. It consumes us. It stops us from giving. We stop reaching out to community. We stop reaching out to people because we can't go above and beyond because we are so much in the comparison world. We've stopped making God the Lord of our lives. And so we can't do that entirely on their own. We need someone to prod us, and that's what I'm doing this morning. But hopefully you can grasp this principle and make it your own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. That they were urgent, wanting to do that. Zambia is a church we help. But let me tell you this. They really work hard on just giving on their own. They pay for their bills. They do a lot of things. But we help because there's much more to be done. The inflation there is heavy. Once there was the Reserve Bank took 1% here when I was there a year ago. 1%. The Reserve Bank took the dollar was raised by 1%. We almost lost 30% of our purchase power down the stream, just raising 1% here. That's how tough it is there. But they're eager to do that. How does that happen? They urgently pleaded with us for this privilege of sharing in the service of the saints. It's a privilege to be a part of helping a soul come to know God, to God. You know, when we give our money out there, it's used to help people to evangelize that country. So they're doing it there. Does that make sense? It helps support those people that are doing that job. That's a privilege for us. But it's also a privilege for us here to get involved in other people's lives and help them to know God as well. We can do it here. Does that make sense? So we give there, but we also got to get involved here and make the work of God move forward so that together God may work with all of us. Does that make sense? See, it's not an entitlement. It's not an entitlement to be alive. It's not an entitlement to breathe. It's the grace of God. It is not an entitlement for you to have a job. It's the grace of God. There are many people more qualified don't have the job. It's by the grace of God. It's not an entitlement to go to campus. It's the grace of God. It's not an entitlement to have children. It's the grace of God. Or to have a spouse. It's the grace of God. It's not an entitlement to do whatever you do. It's the grace of God that you have all that. Excuse me. You move that, you begin to struggle here. You're not urgent. You're not pleading to get involved. You look for ways, for reasons not to get involved. You say, well, I'm not that kind of a guy. I don't think I was made for that. God can multiply the talents. God can make it happen. He can provide ways, different ways. We've got to pray about it so that God can show us how to give to God. Amen? So where do you start with this grace of God? Give yourself first to the Lord. Let's understand this. For you to do this well, you got to give yourself first to God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5 to 6. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. You cannot do God's will if you're not giving yourself first to God. And that's why we miss it. We are so disconnected from God, but wanting to do God's will. So we find ourselves burdened, tired, and wondering, why is it not working? Two things. One, are you connected to God? A connection to God is an understanding that I need a relationship with God that is real. Not a checklist, a relationship. That I pray because I got to pour my heart out to God. And I read my Bible because I need to hear God speak to me this morning on pertinent issues that I need to work with. Does that make sense? That I have that connection. I'm giving myself to God. That I want to reach out to the poor because I give myself to God. Because the Bible says if you don't listen to the poor, I can't hear your prayers. Does that make sense? That I want to help those that are lost and show them God. Why? Because by the grace of God, someone reached out to me. I can turn around and show someone else the word of God. Does that make sense? That I'm in that field. I'm very much involved in that sense. That I want to serve people. I live by giving of myself. You start with giving yourself to God. Then you can give. Then you can now walk with God. So we asked, says, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. It is God's will that you give yourself first to Him and then you can give to others. It is also probable that you have nothing to give because you have nothing, you're putting nothing in of God. You may be putting in a lot on computer. You may be putting in a lot of news. You may be putting in a lot of Facebook, but nothing on God. God is not putting anything in you. And because of that, you have nothing to give. You may be putting yourself so much at work. You've given yourself to work, but not given yourself to God. You've given yourself to a goal in life, so you pursue that goal, but you don't give yourself to God. And that is why you struggle. Now, get me here right. There's nothing wrong in pursuing an education, work, and ambition. But start with God and all these things will be given to you. That principle is in Matthew 6, 33, 34. All those things are good. Get education, get a job. But start with God. Amen. So why are you lacking something to give? Because you receive nothing. You're not putting anything inside that is of God sometimes. Other than Sunday morning and Wednesday. You got to give that the whole week and it'll start coming right out. I would like to go further. Now, some of us read the Bible, but we're not there. You know, sometimes I've gone to the shower and gone into the shower and come out and asked my wife, did I take a shower? And she said, yes, you did. And I say, how did that happen? That happened because I was in the shower, but I wasn't there. I was somewhere else. And some of us approach the Bible study like that. We are reading it, but we're not there. We're in the highways and byways getting somewhere. We're not there. So we leave that place empty. We wonder, what happened? What happened to my Christian life? When I was young, I was in the world. What was going on? But now, and I remember the days. We like to talk about the days. What about today? This is Matthew 6. Every day has enough trouble of its own. When you start doing what I do in the shower, it simply means you're letting the troubles take your head. Come here now. Live in the moment. Connect here. What's going on in your life? Connect there and begin to connect. Stop worrying and being anxious about the future. Connect. And so that's why I say, give yourself first to God. We urged Titus, since he had earlier made the beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. I'm begging you that as we do our missions, that we take that spirit on everything else we touch. Everything else we touch. Not just missions, but everything else we touch. It is an attitude, it's a heart that needs to be a part of everything we touch. You can't just do missions like that. You cannot even do missions if you're not connected to this reality. Excel in giving. Now I say that, but the other things here. And giving, I want to make it a very general term, not just... The principle here was giving contribution, money, but I'm applying it way to everything else. Amen? Excuse me. Verse 2 Corinthians 8, 7 to 8 says, but just as you excel in everything... This church of Corinthians was excelling in some things here. Then in what? In faith. You got to excel in faith. Does that make sense? And you cannot develop faith without being in the Word of God. In speech, I hope that you are the person that speaks truth and love to people. Does that make sense? That you don't gossip and tear people apart. That if you feel something, you go to that person. You don't create a triangulation. I am feeling this and you're talking to me more. Why don't you go talk to Andrea? I'm going to say Pax. Well, does that make sense? Talk to the person. Deal with issues well. Your speech. In knowledge. You got to have some knowledge. For lack of knowledge, people perish. You got to have some knowledge, people. Get in the Word. Know what God says so that you're not reacting with emotion and just anger. What does God say about whatever you're going through? Knowledge and complete earnestness in your love for us. See that you also excel in the grace of giving. So you cannot have compartments in your life. If you excel, you work to make that your culture in God and excel in everything. Does that make sense? If you're going to excel in giving, look at these other areas. What about your faith, your speech, your knowledge, complete earnestness? I'm not commanding you. He says that. But I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with earnestness of others. When it comes to giving, there's a lot of test we have in terms of sincerity. God's not, he says, I'm not commanding you. I'm just testing your sincerity. That's always very good, because the real me is known when I don't know, if there are no consequences. That's how you know who I am. But if I'm afraid of something, well, I'm not sure if that's really driven from my dead conviction or the fear of whatever that comes. So let's excel in giving. Not because I'm going to come around asking or anybody, but hey, this is sincerity between you and God. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9 to 10, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich, that he came on the cross, chose to die the death of a criminal, stopped being a king in heaven and came to be a human being like you and I, so that he reached out to us. That's an example of grace and giving of himself. Verse 10, and here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you are the first not only to give, but also take two. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you are the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. So it's not just about giving. Do you have a desire?
Amen. Good.
Do you have a desire? I can say this to the spouses. It's not just that you're married. Do you have a desire to spend time together? It is great together.
Good.
It's not just you're a disciple. Do you have a desire to do well as a disciple?
Amen.
It's not just I am. What desire do you have? We've got to work on that so that our desires are not being taken over by something else. I say all this because it's important to understand that when you read James, desire is what starts first before you're tempted. And then when temptations begin to ferment, sin is formed, and sin gives birth to sin to death. So we've got to watch that desire. And you turn around your desire by Scripture. You cannot turn that around by just thinking it. You got to get into Scripture so the desire comes around. Meditation, praying about it. That's when desire begins to come into place. Many of us have lost the passion for many things. Passion for the lost. Passion for doing anything. You know why? You don't pray about it. You don't meditate about it. You don't fast about it. You have no passion for the mission sometimes because you don't think about it. Say, God, what are you calling me to do? And we lose that because we've lost that intentional living with God. We've become victims of a fast-paced life that just takes over. And before you know it, you're used to it. That's the way you live. You have no other way. You got to be intentional and carve out time for God, for people, and for other things. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Amen. According to what? Everybody got means. Everybody's got means. I know that for sure. Everybody's got means. You've got to just be creative around it. But everybody's got means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. It's very important about how we give, right? It's according to your willingness, but it's also what is according to what you have and not what you don't have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. If you think about it and how we do the missions, we get very inspired by the stories we get from Zambia and other places, right? But right now, as a church, we're connected to Zambia, so we give a lot. The stories that will be coming out of there inspire our faith to do more here in a different country. Does that make sense? In the same way, we inspire them. For now, we support them. And for now, they encourage us a different way. And in this congregation, other people give more than others. It's by God's grace that you can give more than another person. Technically, you will give more than a campus person. More than, because they're not yet working. And eventually, as they start getting a steady job and all that comes across. Does that make sense? But what's important is that your heart is in the right place and you're doing it for the right reasons. Right. This morning, my prayer is that you understand the grace of giving. Not just money. The whole concept of giving of yourself is in this scripture. God bless you.